Good morning, everyone. Wow, that was loud. That's good. Thanks, Mark. My name is Pastor Henry, one of the pastors here, and it's good to see you. We've been on family vacation for a couple weeks, so it's been a while, but it's good to be back. We had a great time while we were away doing different things than church things. So those things exist too, so we enjoy that. It was a great time to be with family. See many new things, and it was kind of, we went to the East Coast this year, so a lot of history. The further you go east, the older things get. So saw some really old houses. Now I know why this old house is in New England, right? And it's not in Omaha, right? Here we go. That's good. While we were away, quite a few things happened in the life of the church with different people. I heard that Jerry Irwin got into a motorcycle accident. Saw him on Friday in the hospital. He's having a little issues with his blood sugar. So please keep Jerry in your prayers. I think Ed's going to go see him after church today. But Cheryl and Presley, keep them in your prayers too. I think they could use some help with meals and just things like that. So look for emails that we'll send out later this week about how we can help out and minister to them. Talked to Sid Jansma this morning. He had a surgery a week and a half or so ago, and he told me this morning that each day it's getting better and better. Okay? As a little older, and as we get older, we heal a little slower, don't we? When we're young, get a little cut, and 3 hours later it's all healed. But when we're older, it doesn't quite work that way. But he said each day is better. But he's going to take it easy for a couple of weeks yet, and rightfully so. But they are doing as well as possible. Even a week and a half out. Marlon is here, and he is doing well too. So just go give Marlon a hug. Well, don't give him a hug because he had back. Don't give him a hug. Just say that you're praying for Marlon too. Is there anything else? Stella's having surgery in a week. So keep Stella and the family in your prayers. She's looking forward to that, but she's not looking forward to that. Does that make sense? That makes sense, doesn't it? Anything else that I'm forgetting as far as it, yes? Really? Okay. All right. Last 2 weeks taken off? Okay. Yes. Okay. It's your dad. That's exactly right. Pray for Doug's dad and family. Doug and Gail and family too. Fast acting bone cancer. Anybody else? Yeah. We do. Don't we? Yes, we do. Ron's been, what did you say, mystery disease there, Judy? Undiagnosed, okay? Yeah. He's just been super tired. And they have not been able to figure it out. So it's kind of throwing a monkey wrench in their regular routine, creating anxiety, as you can imagine. So keep the Schertzmas in our prayers, too. Anybody else? What's there going on in the life of the community? While we're gone, we got this note from the outings. On the top it says, please pass this on. It says, thanks to all of MCC for their time, love, prayers, and support with the visitation and funeral and everything else. With Christian's death about a month or so ago. Talked with Mike a couple of weeks ago, and it's up and down, as you can imagine, losing a son at such an early age. But they are trying to make their way through life as they grieve and mourn. But also, yeah, keep moving on. But they just express their thanks to all of you for your love and support. Just keep them in your prayers. They have begun worshiping at Kentwood Community Church for a number of reasons. So we probably are not going to see them back here. But just because we don't see them, don't forget about them. Just continue to pray for them and to check in with them on Facebook, shoot them an email every so often, just let them know that you're caring about them too. Yes.
That's right.
School starting, all these things,
right?
As fall comes on, you bet. Keep all those preparations in our prayers too. There's a new guy in our family. Isaac. I don't know if you've met Isaac yet this morning, but Isaac's right here. Isaac's an exchange student from the People's Republic of China. He is going to be studying at Grand Rapids Christian High School in the 10th grade this year, and he is going to be living with us for 10 months while he does so. So we got to meet and pick up Isaac yesterday afternoon, and he will be hanging around here quite a bit, obviously. How about that? So he's an avid sports fan. He likes the things that Henry John likes, which was really cool. Soccer and playing guitar and stuff too, so you may see him up front sooner or later. He is pretty good at English and looks to improve his English speaking skills. So in 2 months, he'll be fluent. Don't worry about it. All right, but please say hello to Isaac. And see a number of other new faces, people who are here. Monroe, we're so glad that you're here. Please say hello to them too. One more thing. The Monroe North Picnic is coming up, week and a half, August 22. Every year we kind of help host a picnic for the Business Association. It's going to be August 22, a Wednesday at noon. About 300 people come out of all their cubicles and offices and descend on the parking lot for a time of fellowship and a good meal. We're looking for volunteers. If you can help, sign up. There's something in the bulletin about that, but there's a sign-up sheet back by the coffee. We could use some help over the lunch hour. Please take a look at that too. I'm going to turn our attention to God's Word. Let me pray before we do that. Father, we come before you now, having talked about many of the things that are going on in the life of our church, health concerns with different people, people recovering from surgeries, people trying to figure out what's going on. Lord, we just cry out to you. We look to you for healing. We look to you for strength, for comfort, for hope. We come to you because you are one who can change these circumstances. You are one who can intervene. You are one who can comfort us when we are weary. So, Lord, we come to you and just call upon you to be at work in our midst. The first song we sang to this morning, all who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain, come to the streams of life. So, Lord, we come to you today. As we turn our attention to your word now, Lord, we pray that you would use it to speak to our hearts, speak to those deep places in our souls, so that we are strengthened, that we are encouraged. Lord, we give this time to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. If you need a Bible, follow me. There's a stack of Bibles right over here. We're going to be looking at Psalm 80 this morning. Summer months. Don't be afraid to get up and get a Bible if you'd like. We've been working our way through the different psalms, different types of psalms this summer here at Monroe. This morning we're going to look at Psalm 80, which is a type of lament psalm. Jeremiah alluded to it earlier. So that's found on page 419 if you're using one of the Bibles. Some back on the table there. Psalm 80, page 419. Here the psalmist writes, "Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead Joseph like a flock, you who sit enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Awaken your might, come and save us. Restore us, O God, make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. O Lord, God Almighty, how long will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people?
You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us a source of contention to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we may be saved. You brought a vine out of Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. It sent out its boughs to the sea, its shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its wall so that all who pass by pick its grapes? Boars from the forest ravage it, and the creatures of the field feed on it. Return to us, O God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine, the root your right hand has planted, the son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man you have raised up for yourself. Then we will not turn away from you. Revive us, and we will call on your name. Restore us, O Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us, that we may be saved. So people of God, tell me this. Have any of you this morning ever seen this magazine before? It's called The Banner. You know about this magazine, raise your hand. Have you heard about this? Yeah? Okay. Wow, that's pretty good. Does anyone read it? Or do you just know about it? Right? Do you read it every so often? Read it. I still get a paper copy because I'm old, but you can read it online too. Right? All right. The Banner, this is the monthly magazine published by the Christian Reformed Church. And it's a denomination which Monroe is a part of. And the magazine, it contains articles about different theological issues. There's editorials in there that people talk about things and then people write in and they're disappointed about that and they like that or they're whatever. Right? And there's various news stories about ministry that churches are doing all across the United States and Canada. If you want to go on vacation, you can find rental properties in the back too. So there's a classified section of people who have places all over who are looking to rent them to you. So it's a very versatile magazine. Okay, so I'd highly recommend that you read it. If you'd like to learn more about it, just find me afterward and I'll get you hooked up with a subscription of how that goes. But I draw your attention to the banner this morning because of this month's cover story. Right? This is the August issue. It was in my stack of mail when I got home. I was like, wow, look at this. Right? The cover story, or the cover article, is entitled The Art of Lament. And today and next Sunday here at Monroe, we're going to be studying lament songs. In his article about lament, Nicholas Waltersdorf is the author of this article. He was a philosophy professor at Yale. How many of you have heard of Yale? Yeah, it's one of those old schools. We stopped and toured Yale just in case the kids might want to go there, right? And it's just, you know, hopefully it'll rub off a little bit. But he was a philosophy professor there at Yale. And in his article on lament, he asks his readers this fundamental question. He says, is it part of our good and created nature to grieve or to lament when something to which we are attached dies or destroyed? Or is it part of our fallen, sinful nature? I want to read that question again. Is it part of our good, created nature to grieve, to lament, when something to which we are attached dies or is destroyed? Or is it part of our fallen nature? How you and I answer this question will determine if and how we lament. How we answer that question will determine the nature and the manner in which and to the extent which we lament. In his article, Wachelstorff declares that he believes lament is part of our good created nature. He says it's good for us to weep, to grieve, and to lament when something good that we are attached to or that we are concerned about dies or is destroyed. He says something is seriously wrong with a person who isn't attached to anybody or who is indifferent to her health or who isn't invested in any institution or who doesn't care about his reputation in the community. There's something wrong with people like that. And why is it? Because detached, indifferent, and apathetic people don't grieve over everything. They don't lament anything. They are like stones, John Calvin says. John Calvin was a theologian in the Reformation. He says people that are detached, indifferent, and apathetic, they're like a stone. They're like many of the mountains we climbed up in Acadia National Park. They're just hard as rock. But God didn't create us to be like stones. God created us to love and to care about and to be concerned about ourselves, but also others. What was the great commandment that Jesus gave us? Love the Lord your God with all your stone? No, right? It's love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, right? Mind and strength. Not just yourself, but love your neighbor with your heart too. Hearts love, don't they? Right? Hearts care. Hearts invest. Stones don't. Because you and I are called to love, right, to do these things, we're also called to, right, to care and to invest. Because we're called to love, we're also called to lament. Love and lament, they go hand in hand. Why? Because sooner or later, something that we care about, someone that we have invested in, or something that we love deeply, is going to either be destroyed or it's going to die. Sooner or later, right? Someone that we care about is going to die. And when this happens, it's good for us to lament these losses instead of trying to stifle them or stuff them or, right, sweep them under here. The Psalms in the Scriptures teach and model for us how it is that we should lament. They teach us how to do it. And there are two types of lament psalms in the Scriptures. One type is an individual lament. We're going to look at one of those next week. The other type is a lament that we're going to look at today. Psalm 80 is an example. It's a communal lament. Communal lament psalms, right? Communal laments were observed spontaneously whenever a crisis sent out the call. Examples of such crisis could be a drought. Right? It's not raining. Might be a good idea for people in Iowa, right, or Nebraska, or Michigan this year. We're in the midst of a severe drought. It could be a plague of grasshoppers, right, that come and decimate your whole field. It could be an enemy attack, or it could be a disastrous defeat. These are just a few examples of a crisis that could put out a call for a communal lament. Laments, these communal laments, were intimately connected with the difficulties, right? The difficult experiences of a community or of a city or of a region. Crisis, therefore, rather than a calendar, a date on a calendar, dictated and determined when a communal lament was observed. Life circumstances dictated when people would come together to lament. And as the name implies, right, it involved the whole community, men, women, and children being called together being called together to fast and to grieve and to lament and to cry out to their God. Communal event involved a number of different things. There were a number of components that went into this lament. The first was the purification of the worshipers. They prepared themselves. They purified themselves. They washed themselves. And they got ready to do this. Then there was also abstinence that was involved. They abstained from food when they would engage in this communal lament. They would abstain from sexual relations during a communal lament. Right? They would say no to things in order to get ready. They would put on garments of mourning, sackcloth. And sackcloth is a coarse black cloth that was made from goat's hair. And it was often worn together with burnt ashes of wood as a sign of mourning. So it would say scratchy on the label, right? When you looked at it, it would say, this is going to irritate you when you put this on. And it's not fleece, it's not silk, it's not satin. No, it's goat's hair. They would put it on as a sign of repentance, right? And a sign that deliverance was needed. And they would cover their face with ash and with dust. And then there were gestures of humiliation and entreaty. And then there was weeping before the Lord. All these things were involved in a communal lament. Men doing this, women doing this, children doing this. When you look at that list, it is up there. Yes, it is. Sweet. What, if anything, do you notice about it? What jumps out at you when you see what was involved in a communal lament? Okay, the physical things. They didn't just get ready mentally. They got ready physically to do this. All right? Anything else that jumps out at you? Sadness. Okay. Anything else as you look at that list? Okay. Okay. It's out loud. You wouldn't be able to ignore it unless you had a heart of stone. Right? It would be hard to... You see somebody walking around with sackcloth, burnt ashes, crying, probably, right, gestures. Anything else? Okay. They're demonstrations of humility. Very important. Yes. Anything else? Okay. Of weakness, of vulnerability. Yes. Anything else? Can't multitask when you're doing this? Okay. That's right. That's right. This isn't just an accessory to something else that you're doing, right? They got into it. Right? It's pretty desperate. Okay. Okay. They're focused on God, right? And do a lot of things to help that process, don't they? One of the things I noticed is just the preparation that went involved. Remember your first date with someone, right? And do you remember the preparations that you went through for that first date? Right? You laid out the clothes. You're trying to figure out, right, what's going to go with what. You probably shaved. You probably showered. Put a little deodorant on. Did your hair. Right? You got all ready. A little cologne, maybe. Probably had the car washed and everything. Right? Preparing for things is not foreign to us, is it? Think about your wedding day if you're married. There's a little preparation that went involved in that, right? When I look at this, I'm thinking, wow, there were some preparations, right? There was some thought and time that went into preparing to do this. Right? Anything else that jumps out at you? Okay. Communal laments followed a certain pattern or structure or form, Right? There was a way that the people of God went about it. And as we look at the Psalms, this kind of jumps out. I'm going to walk you through kind of how this goes. The first part of a lament was the address. And Klaus Westermann, in his book on the Psalms, notes this for us. He says, the address or the call to God in the Psalms has a greater significance or meaning than we moderns can clearly see in it. He says, calling upon a person by name is the necessary presupposition of calling on God. By means of the address, contact is established, which makes speaking to God possible. The address is like opening a door. If a person calls upon God by his name or vice versa, something happens at that moment. So the address kind of says, here we go. I'm directing this to you. The address is the event which unites the one who calls with the one who is called. So this lamenter begins by addressing the one who they're speaking to. And in Psalm 80, how does that go? Right? O shepherd of Israel, right? The one who leads Joseph like a flock, the one who sits enthroned between the cherubim, shine forth before Ephraim, Benjamin, and Manasseh. Lament is directed toward God. Right? It is upward. It is outward. It is away from self and circumstances. It's toward the one who's in charge. And so that's how the psalmist begins. And notice with me that it's to God that the lament is addressed. Sometimes people think, right, if I grieve, or if I lament, or if I cry, it's a lack of faith. Right? It's because I don't believe in God. And the scriptures and the psalms teach us the opposite. The Psalms direct us to God. Lament is possibly because of faith in God. It presupposes faith, right, to cry out to Him. So it always starts with the address. It's God I'm talking to. It's God I'm crying out to. And then the second part, after the address, is the complaint. Verse 4, how long, Lord God Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? You have fed them with the bread of tears. You have made them to drink. They have made them drink tears by the bowlful. You have made us an object of derision to our neighbors, and our enemies mock us. Restore us, O God Almighty. Make your face shine upon us that we might be saved. After the address is to God, then the complaint comes out. This is the concern. This is the charge. Right? And in this case, it's humiliation. Lord, we are being humiliated. Right? The people around us, they're mocking us and they're making fun of us. Right? And we don't like it. That's the complaint that gets out there. If you look at some of the other psalms, right, different complaints. But for this psalm, this is the issue. This is the issue that they're crying out to God. People are mocking them and God. They're laughing. They don't want it to be that way. Third part is then they review God's past saving actions. Verse 8. You transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove out the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it, and it took root and filled the land. The mountains were covered with its shade, the mighty cedars with its branches. Its branches reach as far as the sea. Its shoots as far as the river. What are they recalling? Does anybody know? Can you see what they're recalling? What's that? It was the development of Israel, right? They're recalling the Exodus. Right? You transplanted a vine. The people of God, Israel, was in Egypt. God led them out, right, through the wilderness for 40 years and then planted them in the land. They recall that. After the complaint, they review what God has done in the past. And they hold it up before God as evidence to be considered in this present case. And they do that for two reasons. First, to remind God, right, that He is able. The people are mocking us now, but we know that you're able to do something about it because we remember what you did in the past. Right? You are able. They remind God, but then they also remind themselves by recalling God's past actions. Right? They remind God, say, here, Exhibit A, you want to enter this into evidence? Right? For God's sake, but also for their sake, so that in the midst of what's going on, in the midst of lament, they too remember. Despite the accusations, despite the complaint, those who cry out, hold fast to what was certain. And they remember, oh, the Exodus, that He delivered us. Think about the death of someone that we loved. Right? And we can cry out to God without remembering His past saving acts. Right? But we also can cry out to God remembering what Jesus Christ has done for us. And I've been at funerals of both. Right? I've been at funerals that don't remember this. Right? That is not able to inform what's going on at all. And they're just crying. They're just complaining, right? They're just grieving. But I've also been to funerals, right, where people cry out but allow this to inform what's going on. Does that make sense? That we can grieve without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, right? Without His death and resurrection. But we also can grieve and lament remembering His death and resurrection, right? And allow that to inform our sorrow. Allow it to inform our complaint. And those are two different things. So each time they complain, they remember. They remember. They remember. And the fourth thing is they have a petition for help. They cry out. Say, this is what we want you to do. This is what the desire of our hearts. In this psalm, there's a request for God's attention, and there's also a request for His intervention. 14, verse 14. Return to us. They cry out, God Almighty, return. Right? Look down. Right? Do you see what's going on? Do you see what's happening? Do you see Him going, ha ha? Right? Do you see Him mocking us? Do you see Him making fun of us? Draw your attention here. Look at this. Right? Watch over. Watch over this vine. Watch over your people. The root your right hand has planted. The son you have raised up for yourself. Your vine is cut down. It is burned with fire. At your rebuke, your people perish. Then let your hand rest. This is the cry of their heart. Let your hand rest on the man at your right hand. The son of man you have raised up for yourself. We want your hand to come down upon us. That is the cry of our heart today. Those are the petitions. They cry out. Return. Watch over. Let your hand rest. Revive. Restore. And at the end, there's a vow to praise, which is often rare. There's one in this communal psalm, but not all of them have it. It's more common in the individual psalms. Right? And the vow to praise is, if you do these things, then we will not turn away. Right? We will call on your name. When a crisis emerged within a community, the call will go out for people to do this. Right? To gather and to lament and to work through these steps. And in their lament, the people of God, they would prepare themselves. And then they would work their way through. Right? They would get dressed, prepare themselves physically, spiritually. And they would work their way through. And they would cry out. It's good for us to cry out, to grieve, to weep when something good that we are attached to or concerned about dies or is destroyed. So now you know about communal laments, but I don't want to end there. I want to end this morning by asking you this. Now that we know about this, right, that this is something that the people of God do, is there anything that we, Right? Now we, here we are, that we as a community should be lamenting. What, if any, difficulties are we experiencing together in our own city or region as a community? Are there any, or is there any current crises that should concern our hearts? Not our stones, right? Our hearts. Are there any crises that should concern us, right? And call us together today in lament before our God. I invite you to take some time right now and gather with 8 or 10 people and work your way through those questions. Right? And then I invite you to work your way through the form, through the structure. I invite you to kind of pray your own communal lament prayer. That's what these are. These are prayers that the people would cry out to their God. If you do identify a crisis, right, within our community, work your way through. Take some time. Right? If you don't want to do it, just stay put. But if you would, I invite you to wrestle with this a little bit. People of God would identify things in their communities. Are there things going on that your heart cares about? You should cry out to your God. And they didn't just do it alone, they did it together. It's going to take 5-10 minutes here. I just want to see if anything emerges. So take some time. For a little bit, the worship team will start playing again and we'll sing. For the next few moments, just, this is what communal lament is about. People of God coming together, identifying a crisis, identifying something, right, and then going before their God. So take some time.